Nauman, 401 High Street, room, apartment 345, Northville, Michigan.
Okay, Margaret, you and I have been friends a long time, which makes it nice to be able to interview somebody like that. When did you first come to Northville?
We came in September of 1958.
Why?
Western Electric was building a plant in Plymouth, and my husband had worked for Western Electric since he was 16, which was a long time at that time, and he was instrumental in helping them set up the building, and because he was driving back and forth to Detroit, we decided that perhaps this was the time that we should move somewhere closer to the building. And so because there were, in the meantime, several men from the factory that he knew very well that had moved to Northville, naturally we came to look. Was impressed with what we saw. I don't know why we chose Northville over Plymouth, but I'm glad we did. And so we did then move in 1958. And because my daughter was a senior in high school, she wanted us to move before she got out of school, or wait until after she got out of school because of friendships. And so she did. She was in the first graduating class from the new Northville High School at that time. And the night that she graduated, it had rained for a whole week. And up on the hill, it's nothing but clay up there. So instead of letting us, there was no parking lot, so we met down at the community building, and they bussed everybody up that was involved in the graduation, and they were only a half hour late in starting. It was quite a fantastic feat for them to do that. We joined the Presbyterian.
Wait a minute, but when you moved, where did you move to when you moved to here?
To Connemara Drive. And that is in Novi. It's out by the 9 Mile Road. At that time, Center Street was just nothing but a farm lane. It wasn't paved. It was just a very narrow gravel road. And you went out Center Street to 9 Mile, or you could go Taft, which was the same way. It was just a gravel road. And so it was out in the country. Not built up like it is now. Very few houses. That was one subdivision, but there were no other subdivisions around. We enjoyed.
Your house had never been occupied?
Never been occupied, no. And we were going to build, but it was at the time of the carpenter strike, so we settled on buying a model that had been there. And we would have built exactly like it anyway, so we just bought the model. And so Judy graduated from Northville High. I had a son who was a sophomore at that time and a daughter who was going to Eastern Michigan University. So the three children dearly loved living in the country, and which we considered a country. And there was a lot of work to do and a lot of...
So when you first moved here, you basically were a homemaker and stayed home.
I stayed home, yes, ma'am, until after my husband died.
Right. But so in the meantime, the children were in high school or college, so therefore you did not get involved in early school activities. Were you a member of the Mother's Club?
No.
No.
Because Judy was graduating Well, I guess I didn't know too much about it. I was not involved too much in community things, mostly church things. We were in the choir. Both my husband and I were in the choir at the church, and we did most of our activity was through the church. We enjoyed the people there. They had a couples club we enjoyed very much. They did a lot of things, didn't cost much, but it was fun. And there are a few of those people around, but not too many of them.
Okay, the church as you knew it then when you joined was like what? It's not the present church. It was...
No, it was the original, not the original church, but the church that had been built and then added on to. And at that time, there was no Christian education part of the church. It was just the church and fellowship hall had been built by the Grennans and the sanctuary. Very small, only held about 250 people. You came in off of Main Street, right into the church itself. There wasn't any narthex or anything like that. And in the wintertime, snow blowed in, was blowing in when you were coming in.
Yeah.
So, but they were all very friendly people. We just, that's actually where we had most of our activity. At that time, I was also the neighborhood chairman for the Girl Scouts. I had been in scouting for a good many years, and when I came, they asked me to take that position. They don't have a neighborhood chairman. It's called something else, and I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, I was in charge of all the scout leaders and all the troops in Northville. Very active. And we met in a scout hall that was on the corner of Dunlap and Hutton. There was a house there. Somebody had given them this house, and it was the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts met there. And it was very adequate. Manufacturers National Bank came along, wanted to buy that property, so they bought the property, and then that was the basis of the money that was used to build the Scout Hall that's now on Katy Street, that was on Katy Street. It's no longer the Scout Hall, but we were very active in raising money for that. The basis of the thing that they worked with was the money that they got for the property, and then people donated, and they had a thing in the middle of town that told how much they were earning, and it was quite exciting when they got enough so that they could build. The property, I think, was city property. I'm not real sure on that, but they did build a very nice scout hall there. It eventually got to the point where it was too much to maintain, I guess. I never did find out why they decided.
Where was this built?
It's right in back of the
post office.
Oh,
but it's still the present building.
It's still the present building, but it's rented out.
Yes.
I think architects.
Engineering, the McNeely, et cetera, et cetera.
But we never, those of us who worked so hard to get that scout building were a little disturbed that they were just going to give it up. I have a feeling it was because of financial reasons for the maintenance, probably, because the scouts themselves didn't pay any rent. It was theirs to use, both the boys and the Girl Scouts. And then other organizations used it when it wasn't being used by the scouts. I think the nursery used it, and they did pay rent. But it probably was not enough money to maintain the building.
Probably.
And but it was at the time that they were thinking about this. All of the oldsters in town who had worked so hard to get that building were a little disturbed.
Sure.
And but it's just it progress. Just like anything else, it's just like when they built the post office, they had to get the property to enlarge the post office. They could probably use a bigger one now. But everything changes.
Okay, when you first moved to Northville, what was your impression of the city?
Well, it was a small town. I think the population was 5,000. There were no houses township-wise, very few houses. Most of them outside of town were like farms or big areas. They didn't have any big subdivisions like they have now.
What was downtown like?
It was just a street. Just a straight street, like it was four corners, and you got just beyond two blocks and you were outside of town. And the Ford plant was there, And I'm sure that other people can tell you that there were other plants down that way, but I don't recall them. But it was just like you say, well, you come to town, you come and you go this way or this, you go right or left or north or south, and you're outside of town in a short time.
Did you do a lot of your shopping there?
Yes, we did all our shopping in Northville. There wasn't any place else to shop. Because the stores, there was a Kroger store in town, and there was an A&P store right in town. Across from the church, there was, I can't remember whether it was the A&P was there first and then Kroger's, but anyway, they both used that store that was directly across from Presbyterian Church. And over where Arbor Drugs is now, there was one of the grocery stores. So we didn't really go outside of town much to shop.
What about clothes for the kids and dry goods?
I guess we did go. We had to go out of town to buy clothes for the children because there were no shops that were economical. Friedel's was there, Laugham's was there, both Friedel's men's and ladies' stores were there. I shopped in those stores. We did shop men's shopping in Laugham's with the children's clothes. Mostly, I think we went outside of town for that. And the stores that are in town now were still there. They were there originally. Mm-hmm. Most of them were the same name as the jewelry store is different now. That somebody else owns that, but Black's was in town, and the DNC was there.
Well, Black's was Gamble's before.
Yes, and then Brader's was what Black's is now. And but all those stores, they're the same. They have the same merchandise as they had before. The name is just drugstore in the corner of Main and Center Street was Rexall Drugstore, and now it's Early American Shop.
Lorenzo's owned it, and then before that, Gunsel's owned it.
Right, and that's a family. And the Northville Drugs was there. Mr. Manville, whose wife now lives up over the drugstore, made horse liniment, and they sold it in the drugstore there. And
Mrs. Manville is still living there?
Yeah, June. Mm-hmm. She lives upstairs. And
I understand it's a lovely apartment.
Yes, yes. It's great, big, as big as the drugstore. It's a large place, very nice, and she has an electric stairway and an electric machine that takes her upstairs so she doesn't have to climb those steep stairs. I guess the things that changed was the restaurant. McKinnon's was the old mill. And where you go, where the bar is at McKinnon's, I used to call it the Bean Pop, but it was called something else because you went in and sat on a stool to eat very good food. Gennetti's was a grocery and meat market. And the stores are all there,
right,
as they were. And if you look at old pictures of Northville, very old pictures of Northville back in the 1800s, those are the same,
right,
the buildings that were there.
So basically, Main Street was Main Street. And so you got involved by meeting people through the Presbyterian Church. When did you say you joined the church?
I think we joined in 1961.
And you and Phil joined as a couple? You're both active?
Right, very active, very, very active in the church. And they did a lot of it. In those days, they used to do a lot of volunteer work. most of the repairing in the church was done by volunteers, the painting and that kind of thing.
Who was the minister then?
When we joined, it was Reverend Taxis.
Okay.
He left, I think, shortly after we joined. I'm not sure what the year was.
But he was there from 55 to 60.
Okay. Then we must have joined...
Frank Fitt was there.
Well, he was just an interim minister. Right. No, we joined when Taxis was there. As a matter of fact, he had the wedding for my daughter Barbara on a Friday, and on Sunday was his last day. And then he left on that Sunday. So that's 28 years ago. She's having her anniversary from Friday. So
you were active then in the Women's Association?
Yep. I was active in the Women's Association. We sang in the choir. We were active in the Couples Club. Was very, very active in the church.
Was it the Mariners then?
No, it was just called the Couples Club. And the Men's Club was my husband was very active in the Men's Club, and they're the ones who did all the repairing and all that type of work. And he was president 1 year, and they always had on homecoming, the football game, they always had a big pancake supper, and they served as many as 500 people. And that was a really big thing in Northville. Everybody planned to come to Presbyterian Church for pancakes before they went to the football game. Back in the old days, the adults would go to the football games, the basketball games. They even went to the dances, like the senior prom and that kind of thing, in order for them to have a good band. The parents would come, and we'd have a really good time. We'd pay our way, and they'd help pay for the band. And I don't think they do that anymore. Well, I know they don't do that. But they have other things that they do now for the senior class, so that...
And that was the days of the baccalaureate. And
right. And,
you were a member of the circle, a circle?
I was in the circle, I've been in the circle ever since. I also was a deacon and elder. Well, anything that was to do in the church, I did.
And then the children equally were as active?
Right. No. Because Judy went away to college, and Barbara was in college, and so they weren't that active in church. No.
And how, you were a member of Northfield Garden Club?
Yeah. Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. And I stayed a member of the Women's Club and the Garden Club until I started working, which meant then that I couldn't go to the meetings, and so...
Who were some of the people, members in the Garden Club when you were a member?
Ooh. Can't remember.
Okay. What about...
Whittington.
Mm-hmm. Louise.
Peg Wood. I just can't remember.
All right, what about Women's Club? Was it meeting at the Presbyterian Church then?
No, it was meeting at the what was the old Presbyterian Church, which then became the library. And on Friday, and the Friday that they met, the library would be closed that day, and the chairs pushed back, and the tables pushed back, and set up for the Women's Club, and they served the refreshments. They had a little tiny kitchen that they prepared the refreshments. They had very good speakers. It was a limited... a lot of people because I think it only held about 40 people.
Where was the kitchen?
That building now is down in Millrace. It was just in the room where all the books were. You went over and over in this corner. Here was a place where the...
It was on the main floor.
It was on the main floor.
But somebody has tried to tell me they always had the downstairs.
They did go downstairs for something. We did go up and
there
downstairs.
Was a basement then.
Yes. But we did mostly, if you had sandwiches or something, we just fixed them up in that little kitty corner outside of the library itself, the library room. Mm-hmm. And
it's too bad we don't have a floor plan of what it was like when it was a library. And I haven't run across anything like that.
Well, it was the church. I don't know if there would be anything in any church records. That part of the Presbyterian Church was the one that was an offshoot of the original church. The people that went down there were the ones that didn't want music, and so they formed their own church. And then, of course, the ones that continued was the one that's in existence right now, and the other one folded. Now, it used to be called Plymouth. Main Street was Plymouth Road.
Yes.
And back in the old days. And there was a streetcar that came down.
Mm-hmm.
It came from Detroit. And many people, that's how they went downtown. They go down Hudson's was existence. And they went down to Hudson's and came back on the streetcar and were perfectly happy. It's almost the same now. There's no way to get here unless you have transportation, because there's no bus that goes regularly, or even I don't think there is any bus at all now in North Hill. I'm not real sure on that. Where they would go to, I don't know.
No.
But that's one thing about North Hill. It is very closed. You have to have transportation or you can't get here.
Right.
Yes, that's very true. When did your husband pass away?
In 1967.
You were still a young woman with children who were in college.
He was 54, and Judy was out of college. She's a nurse, and she was working in New York City. My oldest daughter was teaching school. Her first job was in Novi.
Oh.
After she graduated from Eastern Michigan, she took her first job in Novi.
Did she live at home?
In the beginning, she did, but she got married shortly after graduation. And they lived in Novi at that time. My son, went in the service. As soon as he got out of high school, he went in the service in 61, I think it was. And then when he came out of the service, he went to Schoolcraft College. And then he got a job. Then he, at Western Electric, he then quit the job and went full-time to Washtenaw Community College. So, and in the meantime, he got married. He got married in 66. So, my husband knew his wife, but he also knew my oldest daughter's husband.
But the middle daughter, Judy, he didn't know her husband.
Never saw any of the grandchildren.
Well, I see that in the church with stained glass, obviously, your husband was very popular. We see there's a lovely stained glass window.
Right.
The Lyre Ministry of Music.
Yes, right.
And
they were it just happened that they were in the process of building the new church. And the money, they hadn't started yet, but the money was in trust in the memorial fund. And so when they built rebuilt the sanctuary as it stands now, they needed all new stained glass windows, because the other ones, when they tore the building down, they just sort of disintegrated. And they saved as much as they could of the old glass, and it's been used as a matter of fact. They made different lamps and things like that could be used around in different places. And
So we decided as a family that that would be a nice gesture to
use that money, and there was enough, with a little addition, there was enough to put stained glass window in.
And this is all written up in the dedication service, June 14th, 1970.
Yes.
Okay. And then how soon after that did you start working for the church?
I started working for the church. I had been working for the church as a part-time secretary, but I started full-time in 1967.
So you've seen a lot of happenings.
Oh, yes. Everything that's all of the reconstruction, everything that the change, all the changes in the church, from ladies' parlor in on the first floor, and was made into a minister's office. The ladies' parlor was. When they built the Christian Education Building in 1965, they put a ladies.
Was it the bridal lounge?
They did a bridal lounge down the basement, but the ladies' parlor itself was, I think, put down in the Christian Education. No, it wasn't either. It was the bridal lounge was in the basement. That was what they considered the ladies' parlor.
Why did they suddenly decide to turn the church around?
Well, because they wanted to build it out to the sidewalk. As you can see, there's just a very little space there between the sidewalk and it's built right on the sidewalk now.
Yes.
But by changing it and having you come in the side doors. That gave them a narthex that they didn't have before, because they went in off of Main Street, right into the sanctuary. I don't know if there's a picture there.
Well, see, there's the. This is the church.
This is the original church
that you went to
in 1829, and then this is the church as it was when we came here.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walked in, and you walked right in this door right here, mm-hmm. and you were right inside the sanctuary. It only held 250 people. By pulling this out towards the sidewalk and making your entrance on either side here, which was in back of the sanctuary, it gave you a narthex. And they also... When the church was like it is here, you walked in and the pulpit was straight ahead of you. Now the pulpit is the other way around, and you go in from either side, and that gave you the big narthex. It gave them a lot more room, and it does hold 420 people, I guess, is what it holds. It had a big balcony. This also had a balcony, but it was not very large. And the bell tower, they used to pull the bell with a cord, with a rope. And when they were examining the bell tower, they said that it wasn't safe. People shouldn't be sitting there, because someday it would come down through. I think that Mrs. Blackburn gave the money for a steeple. She was instrumental in at least helping. She wanted the steeple on the church.
Tell me some of the good times of things you did in Women's Association. I know you must have worked in the kitchen with everybody.
Sure. We always used to put on all the meals. Everything that went on was done through the Women's Association. The circles, at one time they did the Rotary. Rotary's been there for many, many years.
And you have any how long before you moved here?
It was before, oh yeah, sure, before we moved here, right. I remember Mrs. Burgess telling that they had this big farm, and she'd bring in bushels of tomatoes and
and all kinds of things to put on the Rotary dinners, and each circle would take a month, which meant that was 4 weeks, and they would plan their meal, and the women from the circle would come in and work. Well, pretty soon those ladies were getting older.
About how many men attended Rotary then?
When I used to help with Rotary, they have as many as 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started dwindling down. But they were at one time were going to give it up because when the circles decided they couldn't do it any longer, they didn't know what they were going to do. Then Elma Fisher, who had been helping right along, and they were retired people, said that she would take it over, and then she was paid a little bit, but not anywhere near what it was worth. But she also grew things on her farm and brought them in, so they always had good fresh vegetables. Everything was really very, very good. It was a fun time, too. People enjoyed doing it. They didn't keep griping all the time that it was... because some people just work once a month as far as doing any work is concerned.
Well, the
Women's Association was very active. We had, once a month, you had your Women's Association meeting, and the circles were very active. They had a lot of people in them. But as I say, as the women got older, they decided that now it was time for somebody else to take over, and somebody else didn't.
Well, do you feel, was there any competition between the Methodist Church and your church? Or was it an ecumenical thing where you would do as much attending the Methodist things as they would come to our church? Like you
right.
say, the pancake supper, everybody came.
Right. Everybody in the city came. It was advertised and everybody came. Catholics as well. Everybody came. We had a very good rapport with the Catholic Church. We had... the same as it is now. They like to sing in our choir because the music is so good, and they would help all if they needed them. Like I said, the men's club was extremely active, and we used to go to the baseball game, we'd go to the hockey game.
Didn't the men's club honor the women at certain times?
And they had a dinner once a year. They had a dinner, and Krieger's at that time was the one that catered it. Very elegant, very nice meal.
That was a Krieger's in Detroit at Outer Drive and Grand River.
Yeah, in Grand River. And Mr. Krieger was a very nice man. I think he was a friend of Bill Williams, and that's how we happened to get in. Clarence Davis, who died, of course. He was a very good friend. As a matter of fact, Clarence used to stop during Lent. We always had a potluck supper, and he would stop at Krieger's and buy. They'd cook for him, and he would bring whatever he ordered for the week. For that particular week, he'd pick it up, and usually his cook at home would make apple pies. And he would always come to the meals. We had very nice potluck suppers, had 100 and some people at the potlucks. They enjoyed it. They had good programs. They had programs for the kids. And it just doesn't seem to be such a fast time that people weren't working so hard, and they weren't. It was a more of a leisure program. But we had a lot of movies. They would have movies.
Did you ever feel that you were not a part of Northfield because you were living in Novi? Or did...
No. We never even knew that it was Novi, really, because we were in the Northfield School District. We paid Northfield School taxes. We did everything you had to cut. There was nothing in Novi. There was no town. The four corners is still there. There's still no town there, but now that they've built the malls, they say Novi, but that's not a town. That's just a mall, and I don't consider that a town.
No, it's number 5 on the railroad track.
Right. Well, except I read something the other day. It was something else.
Yes, I read that.
I'm not real sure.
Yeah. Tales and stories change. Because I know John's aunt and uncle remember when they lived in South Lyon, and that was number 5. And
there was, out on 7 Mile Road, there was also the house out there that the stagecoach used to drive under out near the state hospital.
Oh, really?
On 7 Mile Road. I don't think it's there anymore, but there was a house out there, and that was a stop where they stayed overnight, I guess. I think there's also one out.
Do you ever go to Mrs. Rogers' house?
No. No, where is that?
That was the old Thornton farm. Caruso's.
No. I went to... I think of the name of the one that where they home sweet home there.
That's it.
What do they call it, Rogers?
Well, the Rogers owned it, and then the Crusoes, I think, bought it.
I bet, yes. Yeah. I was at the Crusoes when the Crusoes.
Right.
The Crusoes. I never was in the Caruso house at the foot of 9 Mile and Center Street. I bet I was up there, but I'd never been in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
what are some of the older houses that you recall in town?
I didn't really have too much to do with those old houses because...
Yeah, okay, let's talk a little bit about Holmes Tour. When did that start?
Well, if you tell me what the year was...
I didn't go through my records either. First of all, though, it was Women's Association.
It was Women's Association. Then the next year...
And you just did the Holmes Tour?
Right.
And you didn't have a meal?
No.
And then eventually the Methodist Church women...
I decided to serve a meal.
Right. And then...
But in the meantime, then the Historical Society decided that it was too much for the Presbyterian Church to do alone. And so then the...
But the first one, what was that sort of like?
It was just like what you have now. They picked out the old houses and...
But the people weren't as old then.
No, and there wasn't as much, there weren't as many people coming from out of town as they are now. It wasn't advertised as much. And I forget how much they made on the first one, but they thought it was good. But then they kept saying, well, gee, I wouldn't want all those people walking through my house. So then it became a thing where you had to prepare the homes so that they wouldn't walk on certain things, and then they gave them paper shoes, which didn't work out because you slipped down the steps. But when the Historical Society got in on it, it made it a little bit easier. But by the same token, you had to divide the profits. But whether they made more by having both. Probably made more by having both of them because both organizations would support it and both organizations worked.
Right. I think there'll be a time when we'll have it again.
I would think, yes.
Because as the people have moved out of the older homes, younger people have moved in.
And redone them.
Yes.
And I think this is what people like to see. My son lives in a house that's 40 years old, but actually the foundation has got to be 100 years old. But the house burned, and then it was rebuilt, and then it has been redone since 40 years ago. And it's an interesting house to go through. You wouldn't consider, I guess you would consider it old, but they modernized so much of it that you can have the old and the new, and I think this is what's happening in the old houses in town. So many of them are being, I'd be interested to go in the one on the corner that they've redone on the corner of Wing and Dunlap, where the Harshes live. And they've just, they put a new porch on there, and
yes.
I think they've done, I'm not sure, there was an apartment upstairs. I don't know if they have used it as an apartment now or not.
Well, didn't Laura Hixon have it for a while? Didn't they sort of tear down some of the walls inside?
Where they I don't really know. I know that when the Harshes lived there prior to that, Merton Rice's daughter moved there, a doctor.
Well, like the house next to the manse where Paquette's bought. Now, I can remember looking at that. That has the building on the back of the property as another...
Right, that where Mrs. Hahn lived.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we first walked in, it was apartments. It was rental. Mm-hmm.
That house in back, that's been a rental place all along. I don't know
Because we looked at the property saying that'd be ideal if Mother wasn't paralyzed.
Right.
And then we said, give her the big house,
right.
We'll take the cottage.
Right. And then that house on Roger Street that Jean Day and her husband redid.
Which one was that?
I think it's that green one. It's like the first one on the west side of the street, north of Main Street.
Mm.
It's a green... greenhouse, it would have a name, I'm sure, but she said there wasn't a single window in that house that was the same, so when they took the windows, they had to take the windows out. Every one of them was different, so she said it was quite a challenge, but they'd never do it again, because there was so much that wasn't true, you know.
Well, you notice along Roger Street, some of the houses that are being redone are taking just so long.
Right. They're redoing a lot of those, and that one right on the corner, I would be very interested in seeing that one. Right on the east side of Rogers, southeast, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that house looks to me like they've added on a lot.
The Masons, I believe, that's where they live now, I think.
I'm not sure.
Where the new fence is going up.
Right, yeah. It looks like it would be a fantastic house.
Well, even what they're doing to the house across from Doctor's Clinic. They're putting a bedroom and bath and storage area up there that they've needed for a long time.
Right.
That was a one-bedroom or two-bedroom upstairs.
Right.
And that, which is a rather common style of house in Northville.
Well, there are like old houses where Karen lives. How old are those houses?
Same. Yeah. Karen's is very much like that house that they're adding on to. What do you feel that you miss the most in the change in Northville?
I myself feel I don't know very many people in Northville anymore.
I think I've heard
the
that.
The people that I knew before I still know,
mm-hmm.
but there are so many new ones that
Okay, going back to working at the church, of course, you got to even know more people.
Right.
You remember really some fantastic weddings or...
Oh, we used to have... The weddings were beautiful and we had fantastic receptions. They don't have receptions in the church anymore. But they always had a reception in the church, and Betty Cowley was in charge of, for many, many, 20 years or more, was in charge of the receptions. We all helped. It only cost $25 for fellowship hall, and when you consider how much it costs to have a reception now, it was very, very reasonable, very lovely. All the women were very happy to use their talents and decorate the tables, and the Women's Association was instrumental in taking care of that, but it was Betty's job, and she was very proud to do it. Everybody volunteered their time, volunteered making things, and stayed till the last thing was taken.
No catering services?
No. We did it all. And
you remember any one or two weddings in particular that stand out?
They were all lovely.
All brides.
Every bride was lovely, and they were so appreciative of what you did. And when your daughter got married, that was a nice wedding, and the bride seemed to be so they just appreciated everything that people did for them. And they didn't have to worry because they knew it was going to be fine, and all they had to do was to either furnish the food themselves or tell you what they wanted. And my daughter was married on the 26th of August. It was one of the hottest days in all the world. Fortunately, we didn't have ice cream. Otherwise, it would have been soup. There was no way that it would have stayed the least bit hard. And we didn't know anybody, very few people at that time. But it was a very nice wedding. And the reception, the ladies and the Women's Association took care of the reception. I had a hard time finding somebody to make a wedding cake because it was too hot in the summertime. They didn't want to do it. I finally found a lady, and she came back and cut it for me. But it was, the men all got together, and at that time they were using Fellowship Hall for Sunday school rooms, so they'd pull curtains and the chairs were all around, and everybody got together and took care of the chairs and reset the place up after the wedding was over. They don't do much of that anymore, and they don't have any. I don't think they've had a reception for a long, long time now. Mostly because they can't serve liquor. I don't know if any of the other churches let them have wine or punch or with something in it or not, but that's one thing that they didn't let them have at the Presbyterian Church, which I thought was good. And if people want that type of thing, then they...
Obviously, they're willing to pay for it and go
they
elsewhere.
They usually can afford it, right? Right.
What about the funerals?
Well, they had, it's about like they do now. They would have the funeral, and then there would be refreshments afterwards. Not always, but sometimes.
Did you often go back to the home rather than?
Yes, when my husband died, my circle took care of it, and they came back to the house.
You think we've lost that personal touch by not going to...
Oh, yes, I think so. I feel the whole thing has been... You're too much of a hurry. And it's even... I noticed that with the coffee hour after church. It's not the same as it used to be. There's not that many people there. They don't make that much fuss over serving the coffee. It's sort of put in a pot and you pour it and... It's really, originally was very nice. They used to use tablecloths and stuff like that. Now they don't do that anymore. And we had many teas and receptions where they really, really did a nice job. And not that they don't do that now. When you ask for cookies and stuff like that, you certainly get a lot of cookies and whatever they need.
But if you don't get out the tea service like we did.
They don't do it, and they don't have potluck suppers, and I miss that probably as much as anything. At Easter time, you always look forward to those things, but people don't have time, and kids don't want to go.
But do you think, too, because many of the families' husbands have worked outside the city, it's not the farmer community that it was.
Well, right, and they can't come home and go right back out again to have a meal, and then the mother doesn't, is also working, and if she has four kids, she's got to prepare enough food for that, and she doesn't have time to pack it up and with the dishes and everything else and take them. I can understand that that's what happens with the potluck suppers now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about other churches. I haven't...
You had mother and daughter banquets?
We used to, but they don't anymore. And unless the Women's Association wants to have some kind of a special program, they don't
They don't have any. They used to have father and son. The men's club would put on a... Then they finally changed it to father and children, and they'd bring the daughters and the sons would come.
Well, they'd fill the whole fellowship hall.
Right. Yes, many times. And when they... When the men's club had the dinner for the women, why, it was packed. They would have as many chairs as they could squeeze in. And you don't see that type of thing anymore. And I guess now, if they wanted to have something like that, they would have to use the woman that's the cooks. And I'm not real sure that